There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I am joined by Kelvin Newman.
Hello Andy, and hello everybody listening in the wherever in the world you are.
And what are we talking about today, Kelvin?
Well, it's a relatively short episode, but we're currently at...
Goodbye, and thank you for listening to Internet Marketing.
Oh dear.
Sorry, I couldn't resist it. Carry on, Kelvin.
Here a week, enjoy the veal. Now, so yeah, basically we're putting together a lot of our kind of campaign reviews for 2012 in the SiteViz office at the moment, and looking forward to what we're going to be working on in 2013 with our clients and the projects we're working on. And as part of that process, I sat down with a few of the guys in the team and talked about what I thought five of the sort of big trends were going to be in 2013. And I thought it'd be good to sort of share those with the podcast listeners as well, if that's all right, Andy.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, do you approve of that?
I do approve, yes.
Cool.
I've signed the approval form
in triplicate. The approval form in triplicate. Yep. And, you know, I hope the people listening approve of that as well, or if not, we'll be back next week. So the first of those is structured data. So Google and the search engines are pulling in more and more structured data into the search results. And you've probably seen this through rich snippets. That's like where star reviews are coming in, or where potentially if you search for a name of a celebrity now, you get the bar on the right hand side which shows you what other films they were in with other people, and you know, or if it's an artist, it gives you a link where you can click and play their song.
Is this any relation to linked data that Mr. Inventor of the Web has been talking about a lot recently?
Tim
Berners-Lee. Yes, yeah. I momentarily forgot his name. Sorry, yeah. Tim.
No.
As if he knew him personally.
Yeah, he's going to give you right grief when you see him down the pub tonight, isn't he, Andy? It is about exactly that. So it's kind of about this kind of, you know, there is a possibility to mark up your data in an internet-friendly way, but also in a search-friendly way that you should probably be exploring. Now, probably the most prevalent of these is schema.org, which most of the major search engines are bought into, but there's a couple of other vying formats as well. So potentially micro formats, potentially microdata and RDFA. But I think for pretty much everyone out there who is running a digital marketing campaign, anyone who's running a search campaign, you should have explored, are there opportunities to mark up your data, your database, in a way that is friendly to the search engines? And if you haven't, you can explore it and dismiss it, right? Or explore it and go, well, that's too much effort. But if you haven't considered it, I think you've missed a bit of an opportunity moving into 2013. Next up on my list, and this has kind of been a recurring theme over the last sort of, I don't know, 9 or 10 podcasts that we've recorded, and this is the idea of social signals already or potentially in the future becoming far more of a ranking factor. Studies have shown that, you know, more widely shared content tends to rank better. Now, there's an argument about whether it's the sharing that does that or whether it's just the fact that stuff that tends to be shared tends to do better in other metrics. But generally speaking, that relationship might be causal at the moment, but I think it's pretty safe to assume that may not be the case forever. And I think that's part of the big reason why I would argue that it's sensible to invest time and effort in Google+. So what do you need to be doing? Well, you need to understand that the measurement of social signals is important to your SEO effort, and that your SEO campaign needs to kind of think about social media to some extent as well. So 2013, anyone who's running an SEO campaign needs to understand how they're going to work with social. Now, again, it might not be something that you do a lot of, but you need to have considered, thought about, and potentially worked into your campaign. If you're not going to do it, you need to know why you're not doing it. If you are going to do it, You need to have a plan. Now, that might mean collaborating with different agencies or different members of your team, or picking up a new skill that perhaps you don't already have if you're working in-house. But 2013, the journey towards social, informing where traffic goes online in terms of referrals, but informing where which website should rank highly, it certainly seems to be the way the wind is blowing. So respond to it now while you can still be relatively early to it, rather than waiting another 6 months to the point at which Google make it clear that that is informing their search results. Whether or not it is now, or whether at which point in the future that becomes the case, I don't think really matters. We know that's the way it's headed. You want to try and get ahead of the curve a little bit there as well. Mobile search and responsive web design. Now, I'm not going to say 2013, the year of the mobile, you know, everyone's done that, right? But we know from all of the sites that we work on, that we run campaigns for our clients, that every month they're getting more mobile traffic than they did the month before, in pretty much every case. So you need to be responding to that and understand that. And the best way of, you know, you need to understand that more and more searches are being completed on mobile devices. Now, Google have stated, and Google very rarely state anything on the record, that their preference for people on mobile search is to use responsive design. And responsive design is where the same page is reordered or shaped to work on different mobiles and tablets, rather than serving different URLs or other options like IP detection and then going, okay, they're on a mobile, so we'll take them to mobile. So if in 2013 you are planning on redesigning your website, you must consider making responsive part of your specification process.
Can I make a suggestion to our two listeners?
There's more than two listeners, Andy. That will probably result in 2,000.
I hope this... Okay. Look at Twitter Bootstrap. Now, I'm not suggesting everyone uses Twitter Bootstrap, but it's a nice example of how you can use standardized bits of CSS and JavaScript to make your website responsive. So that, for example, if somebody squashes it down or looks at it in on an iPad or an iPhone, the menu rearranges itself so it's nice and navigable still, but it moves around and becomes less lateral and more sort of columnar. But have a look at Twitter Bootstrap. There is a danger that all websites will end up looking the same.
Yeah.
But I think Twitter Bootstrap is a good example, and I think there are other frameworks you can look at as well. Certainly HTML5.
I think that's the way to head. And I mean, what I would say is don't go down and just buy, like, use WP Touch if you're on WordPress and get those automated templates there. I don't think that's the solution. There's still, just because you're on a mobile site doesn't mean design becomes irrelevant, right? These phones have good internet access. They have the ability to deal with images and, you know, render nice fonts and all that type of thing. It doesn't have to be an ugly experience. But rather than have a, you know, m.kelvinswebsite.com, you're much better having kelvinswebsite.com that works on a desktop, that works on a tablet, that works on a mobile phone. And in many cases, more and more people in the UX world are kind of advocating this mobile first strategy. So actually you design for the mobile and you improve, because so basically the historic way of looking at it is, here's my desktop website, what do I have to degrade or take away to make it work on a tablet? What do I have to degrade or take away?
And that's an interesting approach.
Whereas actually it should be, how can I start with the best possible mobile and design and improve upon that for the additional functionality that the bigger screen allows you to
have. It forces you to make it simple as well, doesn't it?
It's a good way of doing it, yeah. So, yeah, if you're going for a site redesign, responsive layout should be part of the spec. And if you're already getting a high proportion of your traffic from mobile, it might be worth retrospectively trying to make your design responsive. It's possible, particularly if you're on a popular content management system like WordPress or Drupal. Okie doke. Number four of my five big trends is kind of Siri and APIs for discovery. So
Siri as in, let me help you with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Siri I don't think is quite there yet, but I think it's an indication of the way that we'll be heading, and Siri might not be the best implementation or solution to this problem, but if you think about how Siri works, it's quite an interesting perspective on how search potentially will work. Cause, so I think if you consider the purpose of what a search marketer is trying to do, is try and help people who want to buy something or do something discover it, right? But that the method of discovery that we use is kind of moving away from search or navigating to it, and more about kind of discovery in broader senses as well. So people are finding content on apps on a great number of devices, often at a kind of very you know, different from search interfaces. So if I open up, okay, so I got Uber, one of the taxi apps, right? Which is a, I open that up and it shows me who of their drivers are nearby, right? Now, I haven't searched for anything there. I haven't typed in taxis near or taxi firms in, you know, Holborn. But what I have done is my iPhone has understood that I'm searching for taxis as a thing in a place where I am, which is determined by my GPS, and showing me the results of that search and the results of that search in a visual way. Now, it's still a search, right? But it's done through an API. And I think that Will Critchlow kind of made this point at the last Brighton SEO, where actually most companies online are really just a database, right? A database of information or products or things. And the website is just an interface into that database, right, that they've got.
We're coming on to linked data again, aren't we?
Yeah. And, you know, so actually maybe your marketing in 2013 should be asking about, well, how can we give the people who aren't searching in a conventional sense access to my database, and how do we convert those people into customers? And, you know, I think people think, oh, well, you know, I can see how Twitter would have an API, but I wouldn't have an API. You'd be surprised. I think pretty much every company, there is a potential for an API. They could have an API. Now, whether there currently is the financial motivation to have that, maybe not, but I think it's worth kind of getting three or four of your key team together, you know, going out for a beer or a coffee, or, you know, taking, you know, playing a game of table football, whatever it is you do in your office, and having a chat about what could our API be for our business. And I think a good example of a business that you wouldn't expect to have an API is The Guardian. They've got an API for their content. So a content business, why would they have an API? There are all these kinds of APIs or ways for people to access your data that can send you business and hopefully customers and hopefully money.
And just for those of you that don't know what an API is, it stands for Application Program Interface.
That sounds right to me.
And it's just a way of computer programs to access data in a sort of unified, simple way.
Yeah, and this is a little, my next and final trend is kind of this shifting line in what is acceptable links. It's a, I've used this quote in a three or four podcasts recently. Google isn't the enemy, right? They're just the referee. And Google have rightly been cracking down on what they decided to be manipulative link building practices. And as those parameters are changing, what perhaps might have been an acceptable tactic in the past is perhaps no longer as valuable. So we understand that the barometer of what is a good link is shifting slightly. So you need to understand where your existing links are coming from and have a risk assessment, right, of where my links are, ones which Google I know definitely don't like, ones which I expect Google won't like in the future, and ones which I think are, you know, future-proof. So you need to have done, for most cases, if you're conducting any kind of extensive link-building campaign, you need to have carried out a risk assessment of your backlink portfolio and understanding how exposed you are to potential future updates in the search algorithm. So yeah, they're my big trends. So there is, as he scrolls back through his notes,
you're very organized right with your notes all online there, Kelvin.
So the first of those trends, structured data. Second of those trends, social signals as a ranking factor. Third of those trends, mobile search and particularly responsive web design. Fourth, the changing way in which Siri and APIs are potentially forming a part of the way people discover content online. And finally, the shifting line in what is and isn't an acceptable link.
As Kelvin puts away his crystal ball and takes off his dress.
I'm not wearing it. Well, I could be. Who would know? Who would know?
No, it's not. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, thanks for that, Kelvin. That's brilliant. Do we know, and I suspect we don't, what we're talking about next time?
We don't. We're waiting to see. So, but with all, as always, send us in some good questions if you've got any, and we'll try and include them in future shows. I know we've got a few good ones waiting to go. Or if you think that there's someone out there who you should interview or have a chat with online, do let us know. And again, alternatively, if there's a topic that you'd like us to cover, where you think, I'd really love to know what Andy and Kelvin think about whatever it is, let us know and we'll try and include that in a future episode.
Fantastic. I've been Andy White.
I've been Kevin Newman.
And this has been Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Thank you very much.
See you next time.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening.
You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.